And take the word of the Lord and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 1. 2 Samuel chapter 1, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 16. Remember the last chapter that Saul has died. He killed himself. He put himself to death. And here now we see some of the aftermath of that occurrence. So 2 Samuel 1, verses 1 through 16, this is God's Word. Now it came about after the death of Saul, when David had returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, that David remained 2 days in Ziklag. On the third day, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul, with his clothes torn and dust on his head. And it came about when he came to David that he fell on the ground and prostrated himself. And David said to him, "From where do you come?" And he said to him, "I have escaped from the camp of Israel." David said to him, "How did things go? Please tell me." And he said, "The people have fled from the battle, and also many of the people have fallen and are dead, and Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also." So David said to the young man who told him, "How did you know that Saul and his son Jonathan are dead?" The young man who told him said, "By chance I happened to be on Mount Gilboa, and behold, Saul was leaning on his spear. And behold, the chariots and horsemen pursued him closely. When he looked behind him, he saw me and called to me, and I said, 'Here I am.' And he said to me, 'Who are you?' And I answered him, 'I am an Amalekite.' And he said to me, 'Please stand beside me and kill me, for agony has seized me because my life still lingers in me.' So I stood beside him and killed him because I knew that he could not live after he had fallen. And I took the crown which was on his head and the bracelet which was on his arm, and I have brought them here to my Lord." And David took hold of his clothes and tore them, and so also did all the men who were with him. They mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and his son Jonathan, and for the people of the Lord in the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. David said to the young man who told him, "Where are you from?" And he answered, "I am the son of an alien, an Amalekite." Then David said to him, "How is it that you are not afraid to stretch out your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" And David called one of the young men and said, "Go, cut him down." So he struck him and he died. David said to him, "Your blood is on your head, for your mouth has testified against you, saying, 'I have killed the Lord's anointed.'" And that is God's word. And so the Amalekite comes with the signs of grief. Verse 2, his clothes are torn, dust is on his head. And he had come from the battle between the Philistines and Israel. And he tells David that Saul has died in battle, as well as Saul's son Jonathan. And so this would have been a very dark day for David, as his great good friend Jonathan has died, but more so because the Lord's anointed had died. And it's this chapter which then begs the question, that begs us to ask, and begs David and these men to ask, how will David gain the kingdom? Should he take it himself? And the Amalekite has brought the crown to David, the Saul's crown, to help that make that kingdom his. And yet David knows that it's not his place to take up the kingdom himself or by anyone else's help except by the Lord's help, and by the Lord himself. Of this section, we see that first the Amalekite is a liar. He has not put Saul to death. We learned in the last chapter that Saul put himself to death. The narrator told us that in the last chapter, that Saul killed himself. But if this man is a liar, he receives from the Lord the just punishment for lying. He's put to death through the Lord's providence by David killing, having him put to death, because he killed, and as he testified at least, that he killed the Lord's anointed. And so, beloved, sometimes we think we can get away with things. This man thought he could get away with lying. He has the crown, and so he has some evidence that what he says is true, and yet he's lying. David doesn't know he's lying. But sometimes we can get away with things, but remember that the Lord teaches us that nothing is hidden from His sight. That Romans tells us God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. And so that should all cause us to tremble before our holy God. Beloved, we also see here perhaps a better grasp of grief and how to deal with it in a godly manner. And that is, at least in one aspect, not to delay grief, but to have an urgent grief at right times. As soon as the news comes, grief is not put off. This Amalekite is not dealt with first, but grief goes first. And then after the grief, then they deal with this man who has seemingly put the Lord's anointed to death. And so grief is not put off. And to put off grief and restraining it is damaging to one's soul. And it can turn into various numerous amount of sins outside of that. Anger towards God and things that we see often. And that's why the focus really of this section is grief of the verses 11 and 12. That's kind of the center of this section of Scripture, these verses. Where is our grief over the unbelief and the apostasy and the coldness of the church? With such unbelief that we see all around us, even among us, we should be driven to mourning, and we should be driven to grief and prayer and sorrow. And the Amalekite has come seeking to gain some power in this life, to be perhaps part of David's rule when he becomes the king, as he has brought the crown, seeking that David would become king, and perhaps because he's brought the crown, he might be part of that rule of David. But he doesn't find that, he finds death. The man who seeks after power in this life will find death. The man thinks that David seeks the same thing as he, power, and yet David's question to him is, how is it that you were not afraid to stretch out your hand against the Lord's anointed? Why was there no fear to put the one who the Lord put as king? Why was there no fear to put him to death? In putting him to death. This is one whom Yahweh anointed. And it is as well that we, through our sin and continual sin, put Jesus, the Lord's anointed, the true one, the true Lord's anointed, we put him to death on the cross through our sin. And so we think about our sin in the future. Will we continue to sin? Will we have no fear in sinning? Even as God's people, will we have no fear of sinning? Because what we're doing is putting Christ to death more, in some sense. Will you not fear your continual sinning? And here, just like this Amalekite needed the Lord's mercy, he did not go to the Lord for the mercy. He went to David for power, so he did not receive mercy. Where we need the Lord's mercy as God's people, we are called to come to him through the Lord's anointed, not putting him to death. We need his mercy now, we need his grace now, and so we must go to him. Let's pray, thinking about all these different things here. Father, we do come to you with great sorrow and grief over the church, the visible church, that often we have seen it, and perhaps have been a part of it. We have seen it as cold and joyless to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have often see it running astray from your way and from your commandments and from the scriptures and turning to its own way. And yet, in all these things and many more, not even the gates of Hades can overcome your church. Because the true church confesses that Jesus is Lord and Savior, and upon that rock is which we stand. Lord, even today, we are the ones who continually sin. Lord, we should have great sorrow over our sin and grief because it's the sin that we continue to keep, even the ones that we've already have committed. Sins that we continue to commit, Lord, those sins have been placed upon Christ on the cross. And so, Lord, let us fear. Have that fear of the Lord. Now, you that has brought great wrath upon your Son for us and who will bring great wrath at the end and continues to bring wrath in some smaller aspects throughout time. Lord, let us fear you, because you are the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And Lord, even Isaiah in the vision, he did not feel that he was good enough. He was undone. Lord, let us be undone about our own sin and about the church's sin. And Father, let us seek repentance and turn to you and seek the Lord, to seek your mercy and to seek your grace, which we find only in Christ Jesus and through his sacrifice for us. Lord, we thank you that you are the God who gives us what we don't deserve. You've given us the Spirit. And so we ask that you would change hearts, even amongst us, continue to work in us. And some perhaps here have hard hearts or lukewarm hearts. Lord, we ask that you would take them and squish them and bring out the word to them, to their souls. Lord, we call and ask that your Spirit would be a mighty work in us, and that you would send the gospel forth and people would be saved and sanctified from their sin. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.